a couple weeks ago before he left. And you always, as a preacher, you always want to know what the Lord wants, the message the Lord wants for his people. I'm sure as a pastor, you know, you know what some people need. but when you preach towards somebody, you try to snipe them, a couple things happen. One, they're never there, or two, they totally miss it, you know. But the Lord, you know, I've been praying, Lord, what would you have your people to hear? And actually, the Lord gave me this, was it yesterday? While I was digging a hole. So you will understand. You will understand. And you guys grow a lot of rocks up here. Do you know that? You grow a lot of rocks. So turn your Bibles to Galatians chapter 6. Galatians chapter 6. And the Lord just, again, just as I was digging this hole, it wasn't a very deep hole even that, you know, this came to mind, and then the Lord starts giving you, you know, what you should be preaching about and things like that. In Galatians chapter 6, we'll start in verse 7, it says, "Be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting." And this is our verse for tonight. "And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not." Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, as we come to the time of the message, Father, I ask for your unction upon high. Get Stan Peterson out of the way, Father. And Lord, just use me as your vessel. Speak through me. Touch the hearts and minds of all those that are here, those that may be watching, Father. And Lord, we do pray for our pastor, that you would give him a safe trip and bring him back safely. We thank you for the message that we heard this morning. And Father, just pray that this might be a blessing and an encouragement to those that are here tonight. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. So here we have a very familiar verse. "Let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not." Now turn over to 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, and we have a very similar verse here in verse 13. Paul writing to the church of Thessalonica. Chapter 3, verse 13 of 2 Thessalonians, it says, "But ye, brethren, be not weary in well-doing." And I want to talk, we'll go back to Galatians chapter 6, but I want to talk to you tonight and some really, and give you some encouragement. Because we grow weary, don't we? We grow weary. And I just want to, Lord impressed upon my mind as I was digging rocks and more rocks out of this hole, you know, don't be weary in well-doing. You know, the Bible talks about a lot about well-doing, about good works. Now, we're not saved by good works, amen. We're not saved, we're saved by grace, not of works. But the Bible talks a lot about good works. In fact, in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, we are his workmanship, what? Created in Christ Jesus unto good works. Okay, we do good works to because of him, but not because we want to get into heaven. Amen. All right, 1 Timothy chapter 2 says, "Women are to adorn themselves, which becometh women professing godliness, with good works." When Timothy, a pastor, I think, covered this a while ago, but in 1 Timothy chapter 5, widows to be supported by the church were to be reported of what? Good works. Okay, good works. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 17 and 18, Paul writes Timothy, "Charge them that are rich in the world, that they be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God, who giveth us richly all things to enjoy. Charge them what? That they do good, that they be rich in good works." Okay. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. We saw that this morning. We read it this morning. "All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for what? For doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished." That means prepared in total for what? Good works. Good works. Titus chapter 2, Paul writing to Titus, a young preacher boy, "In all things showing thyself a pattern of good works." Titus chapter 2, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of Christ Jesus, the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that we might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people zealous of good works. Okay? Titus chapter 3, verse 8. We're exhorted to maintain. Be careful to maintain good works. Titus chapter 3, verse 14. Maintain good works for necessary uses. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24, talking about church attendance. Let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to what? Good works. Okay. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 15. For this is the will of God, that with well-doing you may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. So the Bible talks a lot about maintaining, doing good works, provoking one another to good works, and that it's a testimony to the lost. Again, not for salvation, not to keep your salvation, but what? To show others what Christ has done in us. Well, what does it mean, well-doing? What does it mean to good works? Well, we can look in the Bible again. Turn over to Matthew chapter 25. I can't cover all of it, but I just pull some things out of Scripture. Matthew chapter 25, Sermon on the Mount. Verse 35, Matthew 25, verse 35. Jesus here speaking, for when I was an hungered, and you gave me meat, I was thirsty, you gave me drink, I was a stranger, and you took me in. Naked, and ye clothed me. I was sick, and ye visited me. I was in prison, and ye came unto me. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee an hungered, fed thee, or thirsty, and gave thee drink? When we saw thee, or stranger, and took thee in, or naked, and clothed thee? Or when saw we thee sick, or in prison, and came unto thee? And the king shall answer and say unto them, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these my brethren, ye have done it unto me. So there is an example by Christ. In Acts chapter 9, we read of a woman named Tabitha, or also known as what? Dorcas. She was known for her good works. She was known for what the Bible calls her alms deeds. That's giving to the poor, taking care of the poor. And then later, a couple verses down, when Peter is there, they bring her what? The coats and the garments which she had made for others. Okay, that's an example of good works. James chapter 1, verse 27. Pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this. What? To visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction, and to keep himself unspotted from the world. Those are good works. We're to be ready to give an answer to every man that asks us of the what? Of the hope that lieth within us. That is a good work, showing that hope that is in the Lord Jesus Christ. This world is not our home, amen? We look above. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 13. Submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether it be to the king as supreme or unto governors, as unto them that are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers and for the praise of them that do well. For so is the will of God, that with well-doing you may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. So those are all examples, and there are many more. We could talk, you know, a lot about what good works are. But the Bible says in Galatians chapter 6, verse 9 again, be not weary in well-doing. What does the word weary mean? If you look up Webster's 1828 dictionary, it says this, having the strength much exhausted by toil or violent exertion. Tired. Anybody tired tonight? Fatigued. It is followed by, of course, the cause of fatigue. To be weary of marching, to be weary of reaping, to be weary of study. Having the patience exhausted, or the mind yielding to discouragement. So that is what, be not weary in well-doing. Don't give in to discouragement when you're well-doing. Don't give in to tiredness. Don't give in, have your patience exhausted. So I want to look at tonight, because there might be someone here, as you know, you're weary. You're growing weary of well-doing. I want to encourage you tonight to not be weary. So, what causes us to be weary? Well, if we are not to grow weary in the well-doing or the work of the Lord, we simply have to look at the three things that always fight against the Christian. What are those? The world, the flesh, and the devil. Those are the things that weary us. Those are the things. Let's talk about those things. Well, let's look at the world. The world. If you just try to live for Christ, try to live a virtuous life, try to live a Christ-honoring life, you're going to go up against the world. You're going to deal with ungodly neighbors. Anybody have an ungodly neighbor here? I mean, the kind that you just, they're building a house next to us. I came home one night and Kate goes, all they do is play rap all day long, loudly. Okay. Man, if I had some big Bose speakers, we'd be playing Rock of Ages, you know, Clef for Me back. But yeah, I don't know if that's a good work or not. How about ungodly coworkers? You know, the kind that has a potty mouth. And, you know, no matter what you say, it only eggs them on. How about people you meet at, the, you know, the grocery store or at the gas station? Just ungodly people that, you know, it just wearies you. You're trying to live right for God, and it just, it grates against you. It really does. Let's be honest. And, you know, you see your lost neighbor, and he's prospering. He lives like the devil, but man, he's got a nice house. He's got a nice car. And he seems like nothing, it seems like nothing bothers him. And you're struggling. Be honest, Lord, why? That crosses our mind. Let's be honest. Okay? You know, you try to help someone out, you get played, you get ripped off. You're trying to be honest. The Bible says what? Do things honest in the sight of all men. You're trying to be upfront and honest, and somebody plays you. I just don't want to do that again. I don't want to be that way. How about other Christians? Ooh. Let's go to 2 Thessalonians. Let's go back there. 2 Thessalonians. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. Now, Paul is writing here. We looked in verse 13. Okay. But what is the context of this passage? Well, let's start at verse 11. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 11. For we hear that there are some which walk among you disorderly, working not at all, but are busybodies. What are busybodies? Gossips. People that like to be in the know. People that want, you know, they kind of flitter about and they want to be in the know. Gossips. Now them that are such, we command and exhort by our Lord Jesus Christ that with quietness they work and eat their own bread. Interesting, what is the very next statement? But ye, brethren, be not weary in well-doing. Why? Because those kind of people grate at you. And they're good Christians. Find it interesting how many people are good Christians, but they act like the devil. Okay. In verse 14, if any man obey not our word by this epistle, note that man, have no company with him, that he may be ashamed. Yet count him not as an enemy, but admonish him as a brother. Okay. So that verse there, verse 13, but ye brethren, be not weary in well-doing, is sandwiched in between Christians who are not living the Christian life. Why? Those grate on you. They say, why should I go on when I see people like that? Let's be honest. Okay? You know what grows worry in the world? How about just what's going on in the world? Think of John, Mr. O'Brien, Missionary O'Brien in the Ukraine. How about what's going on in Israel with Gaza and Rafah right now? And we just, Lord, how about what's going on our college campuses right now? Lord, why? What's going on? Those are things that they may not affect us directly, but what? They weary us. They weary us. How about soul winning? You don't know what's opening that door. I have found in when I've gone soul winning, it's usually the little old religious, gray-haired religious ladies that most push back. Why? Because you're telling them their religion is not going to get them to heaven, and they need Jesus Christ. But you don't know what's coming through that door, and you don't see any results. That's one thing. You need to pray for pastor. The ministry, you don't see many results. Ministry is long-term, guys, and you don't see many results. How many guys and gals, you work, you're baking something, or you work, and you have a finished product, and there it is. With lives in the ministry, you don't see a lot of results. So pray for pastor that he doesn't grow weary. But when you're soul winning, you don't see results. People are slow to respond, or they react to your efforts with what? With anger or indifference. And you know this is what they need. This will change their life. This is the best decision they ever had. And they're either angry or indifferent. Well, then why should I go out? Nobody accepts it. Why should I go out? How about praying? Nothing seems to happen. Nothing seems to change. Lord, I've been praying about this for years. How about going to church? Time? Energy? Who has a list of about 5 things they have to do right now at home? 10 things, okay? That you know you could work on tonight, okay? Those things can great. Those things can grow weary. Trying to live a Christ-honoring life, and many times our motives and our efforts are misunderstood or unappreciated. We have other Christians that, other church members oppose us or get in the way. How about just the weather? Life in general. My wife emphasized my message tonight. This morning was very interesting. We get in the car, she turns on the car. The gas gauge does not even register. We live between Athol and Spirit Lake. I said, let's go to Spirit Lake. It's the closest. So we head out. We can take the truck. No, let's get the gas. Go. Okay. Bad decision. So we go. She turns into Spirit Lake. The car dies when we turn off the highway into the gas station. The car dies. And we coast into the gas station. It's the diesel pump. Okay, oops, yeah. Guy at the camper next door. I should have just pushed the car, honestly. I should have, but I was in my suit. Guy's in a camper. He goes, yeah, I got a gas can. He gets it out. The spigot was that long. Okay, go in. They don't have a gas can for me to use, so I got to buy one. So I buy one. This is the most idiotic designed gas can spigot in the world. I only put in 1.5 gallons, and I can't get it to work because you got to push this, then flip it up, you know. So I got gas all over my hands. There's no air hole. Boom. 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 Do you know how long it's for a 1.5 gallons to boom? Okay, so we get there, we're driving down, and then we find what? Hoyter's closed. So we got to go around, which is no big deal. So then tonight, you know, getting ready, print out my message, or get my message ready. I'm all prepared, hit print. Ink is out. Oh, I got an extra cartridge. Put it in. Wrong cartridge. Get out another cartridge. Put it in. Wrong cartridge. I went through 4 cartridges, all of them the wrong ones. So I'm sitting there. My wife can tell that I'm getting frustrated, and she goes, be not weary in well-doing. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you, Jason, for printing out my message. But that's the world. Now we do the world. What about our flesh? What about our flesh that grows weary? Now, I know we get tired, right? But when we get tired physically and we're not taking care of ourselves physically, then that goes over into the spiritual realm also. Many times we're trying to do the work of God in our flesh. We're not eating right. We're not staying hydrated. You know, young soldiers, I knew a young soldier, his heart rate was always up, and he was in, he came back from Afghanistan. They couldn't find why his heart rate was always up. He smoked cigarettes and drank Monster drinks. You know, you don't get enough rest. Okay, physically, how about your health? Many people have health issues. Okay, have health issues. And that causes us to be weary, but that bleeds over into what? Into the spiritual realm. Because why? We're tired. Who's ever been tired and you've done something for the Lord in the wrong spirit and attitude and it didn't go so well? Okay. But also, just trying to How about just struggling against our natural tendencies? Galatians chapter 5 talks about what? The works of the flesh. How about just struggling against that? You know, you want to say something to your neighbor. You want to say something to that family member. You want to say something to that coworker, and the Lord's just tapping you on the shoulder going, no, don't do that. And you know you just want to give him a piece of your mind, not the Lord's mind. Romans chapter 7. Turn there. Romans chapter 7. We struggle against this because this grates. This is like a slow drip sometimes on a rock or something that just wears it away. Okay, Romans chapter 7. Romans chapter 7. Look at verse 16. If then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that it is good. Well, let's back up to verse 15. For that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that do I not. But what I hate, that do I. Anybody ever find yourself in this position? I know what I need to be doing. I know what I want to do, but I'm not finding myself doing it. I know what I should be doing, and I should not be doing, and I find myself doing that. And it's that constant battle. Verse 17, now then it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not. For the good that I would, I do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do. Now if I do that, I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. Verse 23, but I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind, and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. That warring against the law of my mind, it's that inside you, you're grating. And it wearies you. It wearies you. How about just life itself in the flesh? The physical, the emotional, work, bills, family. Not only your nuclear family and raising kids and taking care of the family, but extended family. How about you're just maybe doing too much? Sometimes we have a hard time of saying no. Why? Well, we want to be a good servant of God. We want to be helpful. But then we extend ourselves and spread ourselves out so thin that what? Not only does it weary us physically because you're running around, but it wearies us mentally. Why? Because you have all this load on you. And you don't want to disappoint. And you don't want to fail. So that wearies us out. How about we don't get the recognition or credit that we feel we deserve? Real or imagined. We don't get that. That grates on you. That wearies you. How about you haven't been in your Bible? You haven't been getting spiritually fed. Your prayer closet is a little lonely because it's the Holy Spirit and no one else. You haven't been there. Okay? You don't sit under the preaching. You don't have the fellowship with the saints. That wearies you. That wearies you. So we have the world. We have the flesh. How about the devil? If all of that is not bad enough, then we have the devil trying to trip us up. You know, if we don't put on the armor of God, I mean, those fiery darts are going to what? Stick into us. I think the best one that he has is discouragement. It didn't turn out the way you wanted it. You planned it. You had it expected in your mind. It didn't turn, you didn't get that credit. You didn't get the accolades. What's the use? No one is responding. Discouragement. How about indifference? How about bitterness? The Bible talks about the root of bitterness growing in that where what? Many there be defiled. Many. Kind of like a dandelion. Just grows. How about anger? You know, we could go on and on. We do all this, we just can't get ahead. We just can't get the victory. It's just constant on us. And we get weary. We get weary. Well, what happens when we get weary? Well, you start that stinking thinking. Okay? You know, no one likes me. Everybody hates me. I guess I'll go home. Not going to read my Bible, not going to pray. I'm not going to do anything anymore. I just go home. Discouragement says, what's the use? I don't see anything. Why go on? You just sit, you slack off, maybe quit entirely, become bitter, become resentful. Or we start doing God's work in our power. In our power. Yeah, we may pray, but it's after everything we try doesn't work. God, fix it, please. Okay? We stop going to church. We stop reading our Bible. We stop praying. We stop witnessing. How about we lash out in anger? Well, that would never happen. Turn to Exodus chapter 17. Exodus chapter 17. Exodus chapter 17. Look down verse 1. Now, this is Moses leading the children out of Egypt. And how many people were with him, approximately? Now, I've heard 1.6 to 2 million, maybe even higher. But let's go low, 1.5 million, okay? Nice round number. And all the congregation of the children of Israel, how many would that be? 1.5 million, okay? Journeyed from the wilderness of Sin after their journeys according to the commandment of the Lord and pitched in Rephidim. There was no water for the people to drink. Therefore, the people did chide with Moses. I mean, think about that. 1.5 million people chiding, murmuring, complaining, going against Moses. Now, we don't like it maybe when our significant other is against us. That's one person. Multiply that times 1.5 million. A lot of Karens in that. Wherefore, the people did chide with Moses and said, "Give us water that we may drink." And Moses said unto them, "Why chide ye with me? Wherefore do ye tempt the Lord?" And the people thirsted there for water, and the people murmured against Moses. Anybody have a murmur against you? Think about 1.5 million or more people murmuring against you. "Wherefore is this that thou hast brought us up out of Egypt to kill us and our children and our cattle with thirst?" Moses cried unto the Lord, saying, "What shall I do unto these people? They be almost ready to," what? "Stone me." If you don't know what that means they throw rocks at you until you die. "And the Lord said unto Moses, Go on before the people, take with thee of the elders of Israel and thy rod, wherewith thou smotest the river, take in thine hand and go. Behold, I will stand before thee there upon the rock in Horeb. Thou shalt smite the rock, and there shall come water out of it, that the people may drink. And Moses did so in the sight of the elders of Israel." So he did. What? He went up to the rock, he smote the rock, and water came out. The miracle of God. Now turn to Numbers chapter 20. If you know anything, if you've read about the Exodus, you know that the Israelites were pretty good at murmuring and complaining. Numbers chapter 20, look at verse 1. "Then came the children of Israel, even the whole congregation, unto the desert of Zin in the first month, and the people abode in Kadesh, and Miriam died there and was buried there. And there was no water for the congregation." Can you see what's coming? "And they gathered themselves together against Moses and against Aaron." At least he had some help there. "And the people," what? "Chode with Moses." They were murmuring and complaining again. They were against him. "And spake, saying, Would God that we had died when our brethren died before the Lord. Why have ye brought up the congregation of the Lord into this wilderness, that we and our cattle should die there? Wherefore have ye made us to come up out of Egypt to bring us in unto this evil place?" I mean, think about this. Moses is leading them out of slavery and bondage, where their sons were being killed, where they had to do extra work. He was leading them into freedom, and they're what? Turning against him. "It is no place of seed," verse 5, the middle, "it is no place of seed or of figs or of vines or of pomegranates, neither is there any water to drink. Moses and Aaron went from the presence of the assembly into the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. They fell upon their faces, and the glory of the Lord appeared unto them. The Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Take the rod, gather thou the assembly together, thou and Aaron thy brother, and smite the rock, smite ye unto the rock." What does it say? Speak. You guys know that's a picture of Jesus Christ? The first time he was smitten, the second time we speak to him. That's a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. But there's to speak to the rock before their eyes, and it shall give forth his water. Thou shalt bring forth to them water out of the rock, so thou shalt give the congregation and their beasts drink. Moses took the rod from before the Lord as he commanded him. And Moses and Aaron gathered the congregation together before the rock, and he said unto them, now, watch these next words. Hear now, ye rebels, must we fetch you water out of this rock? Moses was a little upset here. Moses is a little angry with the people. And Moses lifted up his hand with his rod. He smote the rock twice. What was he supposed to do? Speak to it. He was angry. He was frustrated. He was weary with dealing with all these complaints. And what was the result? Moses didn't go into the promised land. He acted out of anger in his frustration and in his weariness. He acted out of anger. And the Bible says what? The wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. But folks, when we get weary, we can do the same thing. We can get easily frustrated. I was getting frustrated digging that hole. Because you put in the shovel and you hit a rock. And you work on a rock. And then you pound on the rock. And you think, man, this rock must be big. And you pound it and you flip it out and it's this big. And you just, I just spent 5 minutes getting that rock out. We tend to what? We tend to get frustrated very easily, don't we? And we tend to make mountains out of molehills when we're weary. Things that you might, Brother Jordan, you know, said something to me, you know, he was a little off. Maybe he's having a bad day, you know, okay, I'll take it, I'll pray for him. But when I'm weary and frustrated, oh, I can't believe that, Brother Jordan. What did he say? He said the exact same thing. Oh, I can't believe that. He's ungodly. He needs to see the pastor. We need to call a deacon meeting right now. Because why? I'm weary and I get frustrated. We start a pity party when we're weary and we faint. We decide to quit. Elijah in 1 Kings chapter 19, he had that great victory over the 450 prophets of Baal. And then what happened? Jezebel said, hey, I'm going to kill you. And what? He ran for his life. He left his servant. He found himself underneath a juniper tree. He sat down. He requested himself that he might die. He says, it is enough now, O Lord. Take away my life, for I am not better than my fathers. He completely went away and just said, kill me, God. Kill me. Whatever it is, we get frustrated. We get angry. We get discouraged. That's what weariness does to us. We start doing things in the Lord or for the Lord in those attitudes. What should we do, though? What should we do? Maybe you find yourself weary tonight. Let's be honest. We all grow weary at some point. Maybe some of you are weary right now and you know, you're fainting and you want to quit. Maybe some of you can sense that. Well, what do we do? What do we do? Well, all these are going to begin with R, if you want to write them down. The first, refresh yourself. Refresh yourself. What are you talking about, Brother Stan? I'm talking about physically. I'm talking about physically. Take care of yourself physically. Okay? Do you need some rest? Do you need to eat better? Do you need to cut back on the numbers of coffee that you drink? No, I don't. Okay. Maybe you need to go see, honestly, maybe you need to go see a doctor. Okay? Find something that might be physically wrong with you. Maybe you need to say, you know what? Thank you, but no, I can't do that. I can't do that. I'm sorry. I'm tapped out. Not add something more to the plate. Okay? So refresh yourself. You know, get away. If you're like me, I'm a type A personality. I'm work-driven. Go, 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 go. But, you know, even Jesus stepped away. Even the Lord Jesus Christ stepped away. So refresh yourself. You know, G.I. Joe says, knowing is half the battle. So reaffirm what you know. Reaffirm what you know. Well, what are some things that you know? Turn to Genesis chapter 3. Genesis chapter 3. Genesis chapter 3. If I can get there. If you find Revelation, go left 65 books. Genesis chapter 3. This is after the fall. Verse 16, Genesis 3:16. Unto the woman he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. In sorrow thou shalt bring forth children. Thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. And unto Adam he said, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it. Cursed is the ground for thy sake. In sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. Thorns also and thistles shall bring it forth to thee, and thou shalt eat the herb of the field. In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread, till thou return unto the ground. For out of it wast thou taken, for dust thou art, and unto dust shalt thou return. Why do I go there? Well, know that this is a sin-cursed world. Know that. This is a sin-cursed world. You know, why is my lost neighbor acting like that? He's lost. He knows no other way. He may know some religious ways. He may even be a good person, but he's lost. You know, it's really sad when lost people act more godly than church people sometimes. That's just a side note. But he's lost. The lost world acts that way because they don't know the Lord Jesus Christ. My vice principal at my school, I don't think she's ever set foot in a church. Has never set foot. I don't know. But for one, I talk with her and try to show her some biblical things. You know, no idea. To some, Jesus Christ is a curse word. They don't know who he is. They're lost. This is a sin-cursed world. Know that. Know that opposition will come. Living for Christ, the Bible says in 2 Timothy 3:12, yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus, what? Shall suffer persecution. You live for Christ, you are going against the world, the flesh, and the devil. You're going against political correctness. You're going against the world's philosophies. You're going against the world's culture. You're going against the world's ideas. You will face opposition. You will be wearied because of them. So know that. Haven't you ever said, man, I wish I would have known that. I could have dealt with it better. Well, now you know. Now you know. Know that you're not the only one that struggles. Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians chapter 7, for when we were coming to Macedonia, our flesh had no rest, but we were troubled on every side. Without were fightings, within were fears. Paul experienced that. You brought up one of my points today, Brother Jason. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 through 3. But verse 3 says, for consider him, Jesus, that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest you be wearied and faint in your minds. Our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ was perfect. He was God. He was divine. And they still fought against him. And if they're going to fight against him, they will fight against you. But also know this. If you're saved here tonight, you have the Holy Spirit dwelling in you. You have the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, forever. He said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. You can go before the throne of grace to obtain mercy in the time of need at any time. But know that you have the Spirit of God, if you're saved here tonight, indwelling in you. What else do we need to do? Well, we need to revisit and revitalize some things. We need to revisit and revitalize our Bible reading. Now, I know, let's be honest, I know there are days a week when I've not read my Bible. Be honest, okay? Let's be honest. You get busy, you get tired, I'll read it later, that later never comes. Get the Bible. Read the Word of God. What does God want me to do? Where do I get my comfort? Where do I get, you know, what God would have me to do and how to live my life? From the Bible. We need to get into, back into the Bible. If you're weary, get back into your Bible. Now, you may not, you know, read your 10 verses a day, you know, out of the Old Testament, New Testament, Psalms, and Proverbs. Our pastor, Michael, down in Boise or Meridian, Treasure Valley, when he was going through, I think it was, what disease did he have? Leukemia. He was stuck in the Psalms. He said, that's all I could read was the Psalms. You know why? Because the Psalms spoke to him. Read something. God will speak to you. Go to the Bible and say, Lord, I am weary. I need some living water. I need some refreshing. Lord, give it to me. We need to revisit and revitalize our time of prayer. You know, when we don't want to pray, that's exactly when we need to pray. Okay? And can I say the Lord already knows what you're going through? It's not a surprise. You know, Lord, I am weary. Lord, I am frustrated. Lord, I am angry. Lord, I've been doing this in my flesh. Help me. He already knows that. Well, that's just complaining. Turn to the book of Habakkuk. Ooh, yeah, where's Habakkuk? Okay, you find Nahum, Micah, Nahum, Habakkuk. Okay, if you find Zephaniah, you've gone too far. If you have Haggai, turn left twice. Notice in Habakkuk chapter 1, the burden which Habakkuk the prophet did see. O Lord, how long shall I cry and thou wilt not hear? You ever been there? You're praying and just, Lord, it just seems like the Lord is not hearing. Even cry out unto thee of violence, and thou wilt not save. Why dost thou show me iniquity and cause me to behold grievance? For spoiling and violence are before me, and there are that raise up strife and contention. Therefore the law is slacked, and judgment doth never go forth. For the wicked doth compass about the righteous. Therefore wrong judgment proceedeth. Doesn't that sound like America today? Well, the reason I bring that up is Habakkuk is pouring out his complaints, pouring out his frustration and anger to the Lord. That's where you need to take it. You read the rest of Habakkuk, go to the end of the book. Look at verse 17. Chapter 3, verse 17. Although the fig tree shall not blossom, neither shall fruit be in the vines, the labor of the olive shall fail, and the fields shall yield no meat, the flock shall be cut off from the fold, there shall be no herd in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. The Lord God is my strength, and he will make my feet like hinds' feet, and he will make me to walk upon mine high places. We need to go to the Lord, not only in the word so he can speak to us, but in prayer that we can speak to him. How about church? How many times have you not felt like going to church? I don't feel like going to church. I'm going to go anyway. And you came home blessed. But going to church. You hear the preaching of the word. You get the fellowship of the saints. Anybody ever been camping? Had a big campfire? What happens when you hear a pop and you see an ember come flying out and landing about 4 or 5 feet away? What happens to that ember? It glows for a while, right? And then what happens? It dies out. You ever pick up one of those embers and put it back in the fire? Not barehanded, yeah. Do that sometimes. You know what happens? That ember starts burning again. When it's away from the rest of the embers, it dies out. When you put it back in with the embers, it starts glowing again and burning again. Get back into church. Get back in the fellowship of the saints. So revisit and revitalize your Bible reading, prayer, and church attendance, and then refocus your heart and your mind. Refocus. Most of the time that we grow weary and we faint is because our focus is down here. All the problems, all the issues, all the works of the flesh, everything that we have down here, and we're not focused up there. So we need to focus on the Lord. We need to stop working for the Lord and allow him by the indwelling spirit to work in us. Many times we get busy doing stuff for the Lord, but it's us doing it for the Lord. It's not the Lord doing it in us. John 14:10, Jesus said, believest thou not that I am in the Father and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. That's Jesus Christ talking. The Father that is in, dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. We need to allow the Holy Spirit that dwelleth in us to do the works. You know, sometimes we know what God wants to do. We have a direction, but what do? Gung-ho, charge ahead, and God is back there. We need to make sure that God is with us as we go. Colossians 3:1. If you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. You know, we grow weary, but understand, and this is, you know this, that the majority of well-doing or doing good doesn't happen in the limelight. Think about it. The majority of God's work doesn't happen in the limelight. It happens behind the scenes. It happens in the quiet hour of prayer. It happens when, as Brother Jason brought up, you know, picking up trash. How about working in the nursery? That's not a limelight. But you know, some parent may be in here getting the gospel while you're doing that. Doing good is not a flash and sizzle of fireworks, but a slow growth. Not through some remote or apps that gives a sense of control, but through planting and watering and working for the Lord. Turn to Matthew chapter 11, very familiar passage, Matthew chapter 11. Matthew chapter 11. I got to get there. Okay. Matthew chapter 11, very familiar passage, verse 28. Come unto me, all ye that what? Labor and are heavy laden. Does labor and heavy laden get you weary? Yes, it does. I mean, think of a salvation. I'm trying to carry all this load to get me into heaven. That's one application. But another application is that I'm carrying all this weight for you, God, by myself. No, he says, come unto me. Now notice that I will give you rest. Verse 29, take my yoke upon you. Now we know what a yoke is. A yoke was between two animals, usually oxen or maybe two donkeys or an oxen and a donkey. But it tied them together so that they could pull the plow or pull the wagon. It tied them together. Notice he says, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest in your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Notice what he did not say. He didn't say, let me join you in your yoke. He said, put my yoke upon you. Many times we want God to join us when we should be joining the Lord. Lord, what would you have me to do? Lord, I need your power and your strength to get through this. 1 Corinthians 15:58. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. We sang that song. It will be worth it all. When? Tomorrow. When we see Jesus. Your reward is not here, folks. The accolades, the rewards, the crowns, whatever, are not here. They're in heaven. Colossians 3, servants, obey in all your things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service as men pleasers, but in singleness of heart, fearing God. And whatsoever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord. Not unto men. We get weary when we do it unto men. My boss is a jerk. Why should I be here? Do it as unto the Lord. Maybe the Lord wants that man saved. So we need to keep our eye on the Lord. We need to refocus. And we also need to focus on the end goal. The end goal. It'll be worth it all when we see Christ. Turn to Psalm chapter 37. Psalm chapter 37. Psalm chapter 37, look down in verse 1. Fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity, for they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. I read that, and in my flesh I go, but God, they're still around. But God, people, George Soros and his crowd, they're gaining more. It's not soon cut off, Lord. Trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and so verily thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. He shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light, and the judgment as the noonday. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. Cease from anger, forsake wrath, fret not thyself in any wise to do evil. For evildoers shall be cut off, but those that wait upon the Lord, they shall inherit the earth. For yet a little while, and the wicked shall not be. Yea, thou shalt diligently consider his place, and it shall not be. God's timing is not my timing. We want the wicked to be cut off. And yes, we pray that, Lord, stop them. But you know what? The Bible also says in 2 Peter chapter 3, what? That the Lord is not slack concerning his promises. As some men count slackness, but is longsuffering to usward, not willing that what? Any should perish. God, why is he still there? Why is he still prospering? Maybe the Lord, you know, the Lord died for him too. Amen. Devil's leaving him alone because he already has him. Maybe the Lord is like, I'm being long-suffering with him that he might repent. That he might repent. Turn to Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12. We need to keep our eyes on the end goal. Hebrews chapter 12. Verse 1, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Look at verse 2. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for what? The joy that was set before him. What was the joy that was set before him? That was what? The paying of the price, the fulfilling of the law, that we might have salvation full and free because he paid the price. Amen? Amen. That was the joy. But notice what he did. Endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Verse 3, as we looked at before, the contradictions of sinners against himself. So what are we to do? We're to follow him. He went to the cross for us. The goal is what? To see others saved. And to glorify the Lord. Matthew 5:16, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works. And what? Glorify your Father which is in heaven. 1 Peter 2:12, having your conversation honest among the Gentiles, that whereas ye speak, they speak evil against you, they may be by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation. Amen. Witnessing, we want to see people saved, but we want to be the one that leads them to God. We want to be the one that what? Harvests. Can I say, don't grow weary when you don't get any response, because you may be planting a seed. You may be watering, but God gives the increase. God gives the increase. Our job is what? Is to proclaim the gospel. That is what we are to do. When my wife was in the process of getting saved, I'll just say that, she went to a Baptist church. They visited her house every Tuesday night for 6 months. She says she used to clean her house on Tuesday because she knew somebody was coming over. But every Tuesday night for 6 months. And I said, well, why? Well, I had religion. They had to get her lost, if I remember right. They had to get her lost before they could get her saved. But for 6 months, someone went to her house to witness to her. 6 months. What if they'd stopped at 4 months? No, she's Episcopalian, she's never going to get saved. How many times did you hear the gospel? How many times did somebody come to you? How about Awanas? You know, we joke about moving the chairs. That could be wearying. Man, I got to stay late again and move these stupid chairs. How many kids did we have saved this year? 10? More? Okay. Let's say 15 to 20. More. How many parents heard the gospel? How many Bible verses are hidden in that heart of a young child? Some of those kids go to the school that I work at. Man, they come, they're excited. In fact, you had a candy night or a cake night, whatever, and they came and they brought it to school and were eating it during lunch. They were excited. I finished my book, Safety Stan. I'm Safety Stan. They finished my book. I'm so excited. Go back to Galatians chapter 6. And I'm going to tell you, those verses hidden in the hearts of those kids, well, you know, that's no big deal. They didn't accept Christ as their Savior. You know, years later, you don't know when those Bible verses will come up. Years later, they will come up. Go back to Galatians chapter 6. Notice this. And let us not be weary in well-doing, verse 9, for in what? Due season we shall reap if we faint not. That faint not is to give up, to be exhausted, to kind of like wearying, but giving up. If you've ever planted anything, or especially a garden, I know that the Fussells were working on their garden. Think of all the work that goes into it, just for the preparation. You know, if you just want to plant weeds, they come up on their own. We planted clover, but we had to spread it all over the rocky soil and then water it and water it and water it some more. But just think of all the preparation that you go into, digging and maybe fertilizing the soil, pulling all the rocks, pulling all the weeds out, and things like that. And you know that if you get in there and you plant it today, you're not expecting next week to reap a harvest, are you? You know that. You know that. You prep the soil, you plant the seed, you water, you fertilize, you look for that first shoot to come up. You run in, hey, we got some plants. We got some tomatoes plants. And then what? Do you just walk away? Do you walk away from it? No, what do? You water, you fertilize, you weed, you keep the animals out of it, deer, you know, things like that. Neighbor's dog, whatever. And it takes more time for that plant to grow. You fertilize it, you weed it, you prune it. And then what? You're waiting for that plant to flower and then fruit to form. And it's a whole growing season. Who likes apples? You know, it takes 4 to 8 years before an apple tree will form an apple. 4 to 8 years. Not just one growing season, 4 to 8 years. Who likes avocados? Yeah, 10 years. 10 years. Almonds, 5 to 10 years to grow till they produce fruit. Peaches, 2 to 4 years. Apricots, 5 to 7 years. Pears, 3 to 10 years. Plums, 4 to 6. Cherries, 3 years. So it's not, and that's 3 years, that's 5 to 10 years of watering, fertilizing, weeding, getting the bugs off of it, not letting the dogs run into it. That's taking care of it. What if you said, man, I'm tired of this? You may get a harvest, but it's not going to be as good as it could have been. Because if you grow weary and you faint, you stop watering, you stop fertilizing, you stop weeding, protecting, and pruning, it goes bad. Go back, verse 9. But let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. What is that reaping? That is a harvest of souls. That is a reaping of glory to God. Maybe you're here tonight and you know you're growing weary. Hopefully nobody here has fainted. And you're thinking of, man, this is just not for me. I can't do this anymore. I want to encourage you tonight to maybe physically refresh yourself. Revitalize and revisit the Bible and prayer. Set refocus your mind and your heart on the Lord and on the end goal. But don't be weary and give up. All heads up, bowed and eyes closed, in spirit and attitude of prayer. Ask the piano player to come forward and play a song of invitation. Just spend some time with the Lord tonight. Lord, I've become weary. I know I am. Lord, I feel myself becoming weary and fainting. Lord, I don't want to be that way. I don't want to go there. Help me. Are you doing things more out of duty and responsibility than love and devotion to the Lord? Maybe you say, Lord, I know I've been doing things just my own strength. Take it to the Lord. He already knows it. Father, I've been trying to do things my own strength. Forgive me. Not really relying on you. And I can feel my strength wavering, Father. Help me to refocus myself. Help me to get more into my Bible and in the prayer closet. Sing a song of invitation here shortly. If the Lord has spoken to your heart, you know, be honest with Him. He already knows. I'm not trying to get a big altar call, but between you and the Lord, because we all grow weary. Let's be honest. We all grow weary. And help us to stay as far away from that as we can.
Amen. Let's stand. We'll turn to 546. Turn your eyes upon Jesus on the first.
Oh, soul, are you weary and troubled?